Like to read from Psalms, Second Psalms, first verse. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Well, we've talked about some things that was kind of deep the last time we talked with you. And thought I might review one or two things in the Lord. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You'll notice here, Paul had such an experience with God that it just wasn't possible for him to retain his composure as to mortal man or as just mortality. He had been exalted to a place of Godship in such a way that even when people saw him and heard him speak the marvelous things that he spoke, that they actually fell down at his feet and would have done sacrifice on different occasions unto Paul. And as it was that on occasion Paul rent his clothes, pleading with them not to do sacrifice unto him, saying that I am but a man as you are a man. And he was so illuminated with the glory of God and the brightness of God that the people couldn't restrain themselves. It's like when Moses was on the mountain, he was so illuminated with the glory of God that the people could not look upon the brightness of his countenance. And so it was that Moses had to put a veil over his face so that the people could not look upon the glory of God that was in Moses' countenance. And this was done for spiritual significance, in that the Bible speaks of the veil over Moses' face, which veil over the Old Testament, as Moses represented the Old Testament, this veil remaining until today, untaken away, never having been rent, as Paul was saying in his day. Therefore, they could not steadfastly look to the end of that covenant or that which was given. That is, they could not look to the end of it because there was a veil between them and the glory of God. So then when we read about God as to the Old Testament and the Jews read about God as to the Old Testament, then they could not see beyond the veil. There was the veil of the law as to the intellectual, and they could not see beyond that. So then it's kind of like the DC-10, I believe it was, it just crashed. People were killed on it. They say that a Jew, a priest perhaps, standing outside of the crash, lifted up his voice to God and cried out aloud, "Thank God, thank God, thank God for sparing my son." Did not know how to approach, perhaps, as to thank the Lord Jesus, who is really God, the only God, the true and the living God. But just knowing God as Moses had taught it, he still worshiped God in the only way that he knew how to worship God, saying, "Thank God." And he could not see beyond the veil. So the other night I made mention of it, how that Calvary, from Calvary, going backward is the veil. And I explained how that Moses saw the hind part of God. Seeing the hind part, notice there's something that's striking as to this particular thing. When they looked upon Moses, they saw a veil. This we know. And this we consider, that they looked upon Moses, they saw the veil. But a lot of times the thing that we do not consider, the fact that when Moses looked upon them, he also saw the veil. And sometimes, because of this, if the Lord doesn't reveal this to us, then we don't see it. And then when we do not see it, then we, of course, are like Israel. We are seeing in part. We don't understand that as Moses being made God, as the Bible said, God had made him God to Aaron, the people. Then him looking from this direction toward Calvary, from the great mountain, here he is looking at the people through the veil. So he doesn't see beyond Calvary. He's on the mount. He's typical of the Jesus part that has to die. Whereas Joshua is showing the part that did not have to die, as to the Christ part. So then we see that Moses looking at the veil, and the people looking at the veil, then there was a veil between the glory of God and between the people. In that Moses was made God, he had the glory of God in his countenance. Then there was a veil. So then Paul, having a revelation, Paul said, "And this veil remaineth until today." This veil between the glory of God, or God and the people, this veil remaineth even until today, speaking of his day, untaken away. Which veil, he says, is done away with in Christ. That is to say, the Old Testament comes up to Calvary. It is still veiled. It is like a fog that you cannot see through. And then, on this side of Calvary, the veil is lifted, because the veil is rent in twain, and the veil is folded up and laid away. Paul said that, "I knew of a man that went up to the third heaven." A lot of people don't even know that there is a third heaven. But he said this was paradise. So then we know that the third heaven is paradise, where he makes it real plain here. Caught up into paradise. We also know that the third heaven is the undefiled heaven. That is to say that John sees in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 12, he sees somebody in heaven. He sees the woman in heaven. He sees the woman travailing in birth to give birth to a child. He sees this child born. He sees it caught up to another heaven. And then he sees the red dragon in heaven. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike, that that was heaven? And that he said the child was caught up to heaven, to God's throne. I know it because the Bible says that I, John, looked and I saw a great wonder in heaven. So then this woman was in heaven. And this red dragon was waiting to devour the child. And all these things are symbolic. They're typical. So then I explain the dragon as to the generation of vipers, as to the body of humanity that is not born again, the bastard child. Then are they satanic, and then are they the dragon, then are they the generation of vipers. And he is called the red dragon because he extends all the way from the garden as to the expulsion down to Calvary. And when John laid the axe to the root of the tree, he cut down that tree, the tree of knowledge, and the family of bastard children that were born in Adam, as in Adam all died. So Calvary killed them all with Jesus. That's what John did. He cut down the tree. He introduced the Christ as the Spirit came in the form of a dove, saying, this is the Lamb of God. That is to say, this is the one to die. The tree is now cut down. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. And Jesus being made sin, as to the first man Adam, the tree was cut out. And everything died all the way from Calvary back to the garden. In that, it cut off occasion from Satan. And Satan was defeated. That's why that I use the terms, as the scripture says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I have destroyed him that have power over death. With the smiting of Jesus, that destroyed Satan. That's why I say there is no more devil, there is no more Satan, there is no more Lucifer to you. Because you are they that dwell in heaven. There is no more earth from Calvary over to the last week of Daniel, as to the saints of God. When you are dead in the body, then you are dead to the earth. For earthly life is one thing and heavenly life is another thing. In heaven you are as the angels. Even when Roeder came out, when they were making prayer for Peter to get out of jail, they could not believe that his body had been released from prison. They said it must be his spirit. It must be his angel. In heaven you are as the angels. At death the spirit, the angel, goes back to God who gave it. So your body is dead. Your angel went back to God. Your angel is no longer in the body. Your angel is now in heaven. And it cannot be defiled. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. The reason is because he is in heaven. He is a spirit, a quickening spirit, no longer the living soul. He is the quickening spirit. As to the generation of the second man, Adam, regeneration by the washing of the waters of regeneration. So you're not in the generation of Adam. You died to that. You were born, you lived, you died. And those that are still alive as to Adam must be punished eternally, cut off from God, because they are the bastard child image. But now you are born again as a new creature and a new world and a new generation, even the generation of the quickening spirit. That is to say, the second man, Adam. If you'll go back to the Old Testament, you'll get a revelation when you look beyond the veil. And you see beyond the veil, as there in the teachings of the Old Testament, where the veil covers it, it is called the waters of separation. And these things are brought out in a story-like form. parabolic, and it is the waters of separation as it is given, as in the natural. Well, this is Calvary, and this is where the dove comes up, and this is where the veil is rent in twain. And John likens people to waters. And in the book of Genesis, we see the revelation again that he placed a firmament, Calvary, between the waters to separate the waters that was above in the heavens from the waters that was below the heavens. And he made a great firmament to show that you are separated as one body of people on one side of Calvary, as to another body of people on the other side of Calvary. And those on the side of Calvary where the law is are transgressors of the law, having fallen from grace, to the extent that these that were under the law died, were buried, not having received the promise that God made to Abraham concerning eternal life in the son Isaac, even the promised one. So they died, they rested in their lot, and they were not made perfect. For the Bible said the law makes no comma thereunto perfect. The blood of bulls and goats. So then we see that they died all under the law, confessing that they were pilgrims and strangers, even as Abraham. I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. That is to say, the city of New Jerusalem. He said a city with foundations. Even the foundations of the apostolic leaders as to teachers that Jesus the Christ laid, when Paul the writer said, no man can lay any other foundations. Peter taught, no man could lay any other foundations. So we see immediately that on this side of Calvary, the lively stones are regathered as to having shut down the corn, having taken the kernel out of the shuck, or the little peanut out of the shell of the egg, out of the hull or shell. See, we see that Babel, the Tower of Babel, bringing in Babylon, which later was to be changed to Mystery Babylon. Babel, Nimrod the great hunter that built it. There the scattering of Israel. God then on this other side regathering Israel. So we see that God has shelled down the corn. The grain is gathered into the garners. Well, that is to say the shuck is on one side as to the swine that eat the husk. In that Jesus said they are swine and dogs that lap their vomit. But ye are sons of God. They're just animals to you. We say be kind to animals. They are our beasts, our animals. Some of them we don't like. They're brute beasts. They're made to be taken and burned. That is to say, we're going to kill out those that would bite our children, those that are dangerous. Good animals will live right on through the millennium. Vicious animals of the Old Testament had to be killed. Even an ox that would gore a person. So then we see that being shut down, the body being the shuck, has been laid away to rest because the law says it is a sinner and a transgressor, and it brings forth sin as unto death. So then the Lord killed us by the body of Jesus. So the man Adam is dead. The first man is to that face that you powder and paint. The muscles that you try to build and the pretty form that you want and the lust that you carry on as to your human desire, as to your ego to project yourself as to popularity and fame, as to who you are and what you are and what you look like and what you desire to be. Even as in your youth, when God has said, deny it and remember your Creator in the time of your youth to project Christ. So then God has killed the body, and the body is now dead because of sin. Paul said, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So then the body of this death is gone. He said, I thank God the great Spirit that hath delivered me from this human body. I do not therefore desire a career, though he could have one of the greatest. I do not desire to be intelligent as to prove my point and be admired, in that I count my learning and education, as we would say, as dung, that is waste, was wasted time, you would say. And then I'm not going to project the outer man, for though the outer man perishes, I subject him to conformity of the spirit, to bring him into a spiritual world of regeneration. He is now dead, it's not me living, but now it is the Christ. As to the second man, Adam, as the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, God seeing me over this great chasm from Calvary to the Thessalonian chains, and not seeing anything in this low valley of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Though the clouds of doubt and demons and despondency hang over me, yet there are clouds with bright silver linings that are angelic beings that minister unto me. And over this valley, God looks to see me in Thessalonian as to the chains. All of his works are known unto him from the beginning. Therefore, I am now the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as to whatever measures, to whatever member of the body, even as I was of Adam, so now I am of the Lord Jesus. So the corn has been shucked down. The grain at Calvary was gathered into the garners as it passed over Calvary to this side, in that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that all things in heaven and in earth might be gathered into the garners, or that is into Christ. As Noah, the type, everything into the ark. Human beings and fowls and beasts. First heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. Three parts of the ark. So then we see here on this side of Calvary, we have eluded the veil. We are not looking at the Lord through the veil. For the Bible said to see through a glass darkly. Paul spoke of it as a Jew. We now see through a glass darkly. Being under tutors until the time appointed of the Father, that is to say the bar mitzvah, as Jesus said at his age, to be about my Father's business. Well, that is to say, speaking of a Jew, he's looking through the glass darkly, the veil, because he is blinded in part and he cannot see beyond Calvary. So they're laid away. The Jew is dead. So God doesn't charge any sin against him as to his stumbling, because he doesn't know right and wrong as to Christ. And those that died under the law did all that they knew. To whom much is given, much is revealed. It is then thus required. So then on that side of Calvary, they all went to rest, not having received the promise of eternal life, but embraced the promises of God as to Father Abraham. And they all laid in their lot as to Daniel, ye shall rest in your lot. So they did. And they were covered up. They were gone. Sin had claimed them as unto death. Death had claimed them because of transgression of the law. My brother Abraham, from over in Nigeria, in our meeting in Nigeria, running in harmony with our seventh trip into Israel, as it appears that it will do, has great significance as to what we're saying. Him being with us in camp meeting and Chris not being able to come, there was a great significance. You that are spiritual, I know that the Lord will talk with you. The Bible said the Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of Revelation, will guide you into all these truths and righteousness. So then the corn has been shut down, which means the harvest has come. The Bible said, in the night is past and the harvest is now here. The harvest is ripe, Jesus said when he came. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his vineyard, for the laborers are few. So then, the harvest come. And Jesus said, now the reapers, as to the angels, will go forth into all the world for the gospel to every creature, ministering spirits to heirs of salvation. And they'll go into all the world. And they'll reap down the harvest. He said, this is the parable. They'll reap down the harvest. But first, he said everything must be cut down, not as the one, but all. At Calvary, it cut down all. It cut down Moses, Abraham, everybody, Isaac and Jacob. It cut down everything because all of us are human beings. And so the stalks were cut down. Everything was cut down. And like when we were out in the fields as a boy pulling the fodder. Or we'd take the old father time-like blade and walk along and cut down the stalks, let them dry out so we could feed them to the horses, to the mules. That is to say, give the husk to the animals. So then it all was cut down, Jesus said as to the parable. Then it was to bind them into bundles, which we did. To bind them into bundles, and that which is not fit. As for the animals, we burned them. For these are to be bound into bundles and burned. But see, the harvest had come, and the corn was now shut down, and the grain was now ready. For on this side of Calvary, it was now the harvest. And everything as to the veil, as to the husk, was ripped open and left behind. So then, as I say, when the curtain opens, the last great drama comes. That is to say, Calvary, again, I remind you that these things, as pertaining to life, all things that pertain to life, He's given us all things that pertain unto life. Though we do not accept them, we do not use them, we do not use our faith, yet they're still ours. He's made us to ride upon the high places of the earth, made us rich, no sorrow. All these things. See, God gave these to us in Christ when the Lamb was slain and before the foundation of the world in His mind. Wrote our names down in the Lamb's book of life and we become sons of God. So now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. It doth not yet appear as to your body what ye shall be like, because it is dead and buried as to the old man Adam. But at the Thessalonian change, then it shall be seen clearly as to your glorified body, because there's a natural body and a spiritual body. And your natural body is now dead and gone, and you are now in the sight of God, the spiritual body, as to the quickening spirit, the second man Adam made a quickening spirit. You are now Him living. And you are living in heaven where He is at. You are there with Him, even the head of the many members. The rest of the world is on the other side of Calvary. They're buried. They're dead. They're gone. Even though many people come past Calvary onto the day that we're living in. And they are not accounted for as you and I, but they are accounted for as the dead. Even the Jews that went out of the presence of God to call the death as to an extension, to extend from beyond Calvary as to the sin, on past Calvary, right on over, continuing through the days of the Gentile as to represent the dead. For if the casting away of the Jews be the dead, what is the remaining but the living? Or the shuck being gone, we have nothing but the grain. Or if the casting away of the Jews, Paul said, be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead, in that they represent the dead? So that everybody could be dead to God, cutting down all things is the parable. That everything might be dead unto God. Then He killed it all by the body of the Lord Jesus and cut it down as John laid the axe to the root of the tree. Everything is thus cut down from Calvary back, and everything that doth not go into heaven, as to the translation of that grain that's coming out of the shuck from Calvary. As to the door, Peter opened the key. John saw it open after the church ages. This, if we don't pass through the door of that sacrifice of this lamb of the evening time on the brazen altar, then we are cut off. So then they that are without Christ and grace are still in the earth. We are in heaven. We are eternally strong, eternally rich, eternally young, eternally healthy. We can never die because we are God's. So then, as in Revelation, caught up to the third heaven, to the throne. That's the third heaven, the throne. Anything below the throne is the second heaven, as between earth and the throne. Then the second heaven, as I said, was where Satan was seen, because you are in the second heaven. The woman is in the second heaven. At that time, Israel was in the second heaven. We can't break all those things down on tape. We have some of these teachings. So we see that between heaven and earth is the second heaven. We see that the first heaven is in the earth when God is with His people as Emmanuel, God with you, as it was with the Jews. Jesus walked with them. Or God was with Israel as to the kingdom, as to the first heaven. For as I say again, people that are out yonder with the blood on the seat of atonement, them people are in heaven. They don't realize it, but they are in heaven. And when the grace is lifted and they go through the pain to the northern tongues and these things, they'll know then that they've been in heaven. So then we see these heavens, and we see the child caught up to the third heaven, even the throne, to rule with a rod of iron, which has happened to you and I. As to the enter you, the angelic being, it went away at death. The reckoner says to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, the body dead because of sin, and that it's transgressed, God had to kill it. So then the angelic you went up to heaven, and it is dwelling in heaven. It can never be contaminated. It can never be defiled. Satan can never touch it, because there is no more Satan to you. He's destroyed. The only place that Satan exists is in hallucinations and wild imagination. As to the perversion of the mind of carnality, even the perverted mind of Lucifer that created that realm as to his kingdom through the instrumentality of God by weakness of the flesh called the woman, the feminine gender. So then we see that Satan is in the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the flesh, of the earth, for he is among you. Having been cast out of the spirit, he knoweth that he hath but a short time, so he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Don't give place to him, no, not for a moment, that he should reign even in your mortal body. Consider it to be dead by faith. Conquer it as much as you can in every effort. Do everything possible to make it perfect. And then when Satan trips or causes you to stumble, I don't mean going out practicing drinking and cursing and snorting, doing the things of the world, coming back saying, I'm going to believe my way through. But doing all that you can when you do stumble or Satan takes advantage, don't even consider it. Don't even be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't even consider it, because it didn't even register in the sight of God. It never came into your dwelling. The Bible said that it never come nigh your dwelling, for your dwelling is in heaven. All these things fall around you. It comes to the earthly inhabitants. So then you have no sin, you have no problems, you have no trespasses, you have no nothing that will ever be charged against you. Though you're asking forgiveness of your sins and your trespasses and your ill manners as to stumbling and staggering and communication, corrupt good manners as to you still being among the thieves, as we say, where there's no honor among thieves. But there's nothing that's charged against you, to wit that God was in Christ, the great Spirit, the Father, in the body of Jesus, the Son, in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That is to bring us back to him as we were with him before we fell from him when the expulsion at the garden came. Jesus is that open door, that sacrifice, that means by which we come to him, and no man can come to him except by the Son, that is, to the Father. So then when we think about these, we realize that we are exiled from the world and we are here in heaven. John was in heaven on the Lord's day, caught up in the Spirit. What is heaven? The great Spirit. God is that that filleth all in all, without beginning, without end, without boundaries, without measures, the fullness of all. So our spirit has translated into the Spirit. Now God, Spirit in your spirit, your one spirit, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The shuck is to be burned, thrown to the swines, as they bubble in the slop of their own intellectual reasoning and their vomit, as the dog laps his vomit. So then we see that we are in heaven. We are they that dwell in heaven, the third heaven. Though the body is in a second heaven, as to being buried like in a casket, like a bed of rest, a paradise of sleep. See, it is at rest, but your spirit is in the third heaven. Paul said, caught up to the third heaven. Whether in my body or not, he said, I can't tell about that. But he said it was caught up into the third heaven, knowing that someday the body will be changed and be in the third heaven. But as of now, buried, dead because of sin. So you, the real you that lived in this little house, moved out. And as I bring out in Revelation a lot of times as moving the veil, within the little house that people lived in the Old Testament, the priest would find streaks through the wall, veins of something running through the wall. These were plagues. The priest would go in with hyssop and different mixtures as to put on these things. Before they would do that, they would make the people move out. See, that is to say, you move out of your body, it lays down to rest. Because when you are dead, Jesus, the high priest, comes in to officiate. And he checks it all out. He checks your heart out. Purifies your heart by faith. And he checks it all out, and he checks the things that's running through the walls of it, in that the body is the walls. He checks this out and he applies the blood and the spirit. And if the blood and the spirit eradicates this vein, then it's not terminal, as cancer being a type of it. The serum does away with it. You are resurrected from the dead, and that you are clinically dead but cancer, and then you come back to life. So then you see that if everything is all right, the priest will come out. And as the Bible said, we return with the Lord in Revelation 19. We return as the Spirit to them that are dead as to the body which is the Jew, to bring them together as one. Or that is to say, your spirit that's gone from your body, Christ now within your body is checking the walls, you're dead. After everything is checked out, then you return into that body. See, Paul said, I keep under this body. I put a bridle on it, that is. I bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So then, from within this body, you're withdrawn as the life within the kernel, that the body might die. We see this as one ages. See, he is dead. He's aging because he is withdrawing in his bodily members as to his human senses. He is dying to those human senses, as life withdraws from that, coming into the stone of the seed of the heart, the soul. See, then the members out here begin to wither, and the life begins to withdraw, because this on the outside must go to seed. As from dust to dust it goes. As from the man Adam it dies. Back to the dust Adam went, back to the dust it goes from whence it came, because it was only a carrier. As the mother carries the little one, it's only a carrier. As the birth, then the mother fades into the background, the little one is projected, and the people make a fuss not over the mother, but over the child. And then comes the restoration of the mother when she regains her composure and she's normal in appearance and whatever. Again, as going through the tribulation, when that wonderful person sits upon the throne with Jesus after the purification, as it was of the Old Testament. Then the fuss is made as to the husband making a fuss over the wife because she presents and cares for his little one. Them being one. So we see then, as caught up into the third heaven, Paul became a capstone on this side of Calvary as Christ. The third heaven. To the stones that would be put together in the second heaven. To rest upon the foundation of the apostolic leaders, in that the Jews inherit the natural as to land and whatever. To rest upon the foundation in the first heaven. So then we see New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as the bride adorned for her husband, as to the spiritual perspective. Coming down its foundational part to reach to its lofty peak as to stones of beauty. Jesus said, I'll remember you, I'll make up my jewels. So then we see these. We see that there is then this beautiful city coming down from out of heaven. Foundation, the lively stones, and then Paul said, not me, but Christ, the capstone. We see these things, and through the church ages, We think of Calvary kind of like here's Calvary, and we're just kind of going down to the church ages. But that isn't the way it is. Here's Calvary, the light breaking through the prism, the capstone, into the sevenfold color. Jesus, that is the spirit through the body, the characteristics of the seven candlesticks all within Jesus. And as these attributes are broke down as the seven church age messengers, we're coming from Calvary up Jacob's ladder this way. The angels ascending and descending upon Jesus, as it was Bethel, the stone, and the angels coming from heaven to where Jacob was. Jacob being the head of the tribes represented Jesus, the 12 tribes, as the sons, that is, sons from whom the tribes came, representing the 12 apostolic leaders from which the tribes came, as two of the lifeless stones built up into this holy priesthood. So Babylon is gone as to the shucking down, scattering. And now the grain is gathered into the garners as that which is left on this side of Calvary to build unto heaven as unto Christ. And not as Babel, as the thing that we see in Egypt that's uncapped stone. God refused it. That is, over there the pyramid as unto the star. As unto the star that represents the dragon. So, Egypt, civilization comes from Egypt. And all of the world has built a great pyramid because everybody is Egyptians. That's where their civilization comes from, except for the children of God. And as a matter of fact, over in Memphis, where we spoke of it concerning our brother being moved to the graveyard over here, and what it would come to pass the way it did there, and it had to do with Egypt. They're building a pyramid over there in Egypt. So then, we see that the people that are without, that are not children of God, they are the great pyramid of Egypt. Because all of them have their civilization and their education from the old tree of knowledge and from Egypt. And they have built the great pyramid. But God hath refused it. He won't capstone it. He won't come to it. They have their great industries of today, their education, their celebrities. They have all of their forms and ritualistics, whether through any religious type of worship or whatever. And they're all frustrated because they feel like God should come to them. But he won't, because they're built up under Adam, and Adam is dead, and in Adam all die. So the great pyramid has never been capstone. But one day Lucifer is going to become a man, manifest himself in a fullness. I don't have time to go into that. But anyway, he will endeavor to capstone the pyramid of Egypt. Because there has to be a type, as in the earth, so the coming of Christ. As the capstone, you and I, which are the spiritual pyramid, as to the lively stone of the city, built up into a holy priesthood, that Christ may capstone it, even as the revelation, when he appeared in Paul to take him to the third heaven. Taking you as the memberships right in there with it. Bringing the glory of that light from that great mind of Jesus that he said, let be in you. Coming down through the capstone, down through the stones. Remember you as a man remembers his son when I make up my jewels. Down to the foundations of the teachings of this apostolic biblical instruction that we find saying these foundations. Even the 12 foundations. Well, I might build something today, it's foundations. You know, it's the foundation of this, or the foundation of that, or we belong to the foundation of the Sunshine Foundation, as my daughter belongs to that. See, and the foundations even of little Bethlehem and whatever. Foundations upon which no man can build anything except what God has said, and you can't lay another foundation to start something on your own. All right, let's go on just a little bit farther. So then we see that the veil is taken away. Moses is looking through the veil and the people are looking through the veil. There is therefore a veil between God and the people in that Moses has made God. So they could not steadfastly look to the end of that. That was a covenant of that day. As to that glory, it was wonderful. But it hath no beauty or radiance as to glory compared to this unveiled glory that we have today. For today it is the unveiled glory, not as to see God as the people saw Moses through the veil, but the veil being taken away in that Jesus made in himself twain, both as of the glory and as of the body, that he might separate the two as to the Christ, which is God the glory. Shucking down the corn, he laid away the body that is a recipient of the glory, and died out of the presence of God in darkness, out of the presence of his Father and the wrath, and in the darkness of the intellectual as to the first man Adam, unto death, to be carnally minded as death, that we might live as to the resurrection, him having been delivered for our offenses, raised again as Christ for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, our faith in God, or the faith of Jesus Christ. Then we find that we have peace with God, and we see now the radiant glory. Though the Bible said it doth not yet appear what ye should be like, that is, he hasn't let the world see it as of yet. He lets your body continue on to cover it up. So then, in the earth, you cannot see it. It is not made manifest. For as you died, so is it hid, because without a body, it cannot be made manifest. How can life be exuberant in something that does not exist or manifest itself if there's nothing to manifest itself in? The whole plan of God was to manifest himself, which is life, in the form of birds, in the form of trees, in the form of water, in the form of fire, in the form of human beings. So then that form of you is gone. So it does not yet appear what ye shall be as to people seeing. Not even each other can see it, if they know you after the flesh. But if we know you after the spirit is of the angelic glory, then in heaven is the brightness beyond the noonday sun. And there you outshined as with your light most precious, the noonday sun. When you return in Revelation 19, the noonday sun will quit shining. Because the day star, even Jesus himself, of whom ye are a member of that body, shall come forth, as to the Bible saying, the day star dawning within you, which is the Christ as of now. Then will come the body as to the manifest, as to the manifesto, as to be seen as the Christ showing himself, we being like him. For every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And the hope within you is Christ, that hope of glory, that will be changed into his very image. And then it will be made manifest in the earth as to the resurrection of your body. For your body then will be seen as the glorious Son of God. So we see then that we are in heaven. What is the rapture? The rapture is translation by faith. I say again, there's no such word as the rapture, but I say it because you use it. It is changed from glory to glory. And that, as Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death, and as you have already been, you've already been translated. The Bible said God hath right presently, right now, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of his Son, which means your spiritual being that once was in the body, in bondage and imprisonment to Satan, which was in your flesh, the bars of bond gone. The spirit went back to God who gave it. Christ is now interwoven with your spirit as the safeguard and the garment. Satan can never touch you again. You're now in the world where there is no Satan, there is no Lucifer. So then you're saved eternally. You pass from death unto life because you pass from the body. And Paul said, the body of this death. Within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. So then I've been delivered from the body of this death. O wretched man that I am in the body, but not wretched now that I am in the spirit. I am perfect in him, for he hath perfected forever. Them that are sanctified, sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of his body at the tree. Hath justified by faith, sanctified and glorified. So then we are the glorified ones that dwell in heaven. Though the glorification is not seen in the body as of yet, yet the body will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last coming. So the last trump. And here's what we got to look at. The flesh profiteth nothing. You're not to pay any attention to the flesh. It's dead. It's nothing. It's nothing. So here we are. He that is born of spirit is spirit, to a spiritual head, which is Christ. This thing coming, Christ suddenly appearing within his temple to change this body, to glorify it. Whose temples ye are? Man that defileth it, then it's not God's temple. He'll destroy it. It's the body. It becomes the worm and not the butterfly. But going through the metamorphosis of Calvary, we're now the great butterfly with a great, beautiful covenant. So we see the attributes of Christ winging its way over the church ages. That is to say, the steps back to glory. So when John saw the revelation, he looked up, saw the ceiling in the earth as to the Jews and the foundation. He saw the woman in the second heaven here, this that had to do with the walls. And then, as Paul said, the recognition of the child being caught up to the throne, Paul, the child, Christ. Third heaven, that it was capstone. So then we see that by this, that's why the Lord calls us a peculiar people. With a king, a nation, zealous of good works. We are now they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, for you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh by killing the body of flesh. And the spirit went back to God who gave it. And ye are not in the body. You're in the spirit. Ye are not in the world, for your angelic you would have to be in the body, which body would be in the world. So then, you are in heaven, and the body is buried. When I look at you, I know then that you are not in heaven when I see your body. I say, now this body is not in heaven, it is buried in this world of dust, from the dust to the dust. It is now dead. They that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live, and now you're dead with the body of Jesus. So then, all cut down to put grace so that the world could continue until we go through our transitional changes. So then your body is free from sin. You cannot sin because you're born of God, because you're not in the body to sin. And where these things are, there's no conscience of sin. And the spirit has to sin through the body. There's no way that the body can do it by itself, for the body without the spirit is dead, and the dead knoweth not anything. So the sin, God has accounted for it as of the body, in that you were ignorant and took your spirit away before Satan could touch the heart as to the worm in the apple. Just a little bad place and a bruised place to cut off. So he wouldn't have to throw the apple away, as we say. So then we find that the spirit is now sealed with the Holy Spirit as the safeguard and can never sin now. Satan lost his chance at Calvary. That means he can never touch us now. We can never sin now because we're born of God as to the inner you. So then your body is dead in this world. It's buried with them dead folks out there. You're part of the dead folks. All them folks are dead in the sight of God by Calvary. So the Lord lays nothing to the charge. He lets grace go on and lets them continue on and lets the Jews continue on. But after a while, the wrath of God will be turned on them. And all these infirmities that we've had, the Bible said, if in this life only we have hope, we are most all men most miserable. Because these things that we suffer as infirmities and problems and besetting things, as wandering through the wilderness of this intellectual journey. See, all of that is nothing in the sight of God and not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us at the coming of the great light that's most precious. As we, the stones of the new city, as to the city in Jesus, the head is the capstone, descend out of heaven, that is out of the Spirit, coming back in Revelation 19. Caught up, that is recognized in Thessalonians as the lively stones, and then come back, our body will be picked up, not just our spirit. Our spirit is already picked up. We've already received the kingdom of God within us, but then the kingdom of this world, which means the body, will also be changed and become the kingdom of God, the sound of the last trump, the finishing of the mystery. That is, when it is known as to what it is and how to believe it, then faith will bring it to pass. As it was within. So then now you're recognizing that you have been raptured, that you have been translated, that you are gone out of the world, that you're not of the world, that you're not in the world, that he's chosen you out of the world. And to the utter shocking amazement as this thing comes, the others that have played church, the others that have been through ritualistics, the other that have been with you, because them that came out of Egypt, God was not well pleased with all of them. But them that had the carnal mind, that wanted to eat, drink, buy, sell, revel. The old natural mind, they're going to find out that they're still of the world, because the natural mind is the world and the spiritual mind is heaven. And to be carnally minded is death. and them that wanted to retire and have little homes and have money and have all the advantages of life and still want to be with the Christian. God has allowed them to go along as believers, but so does Satan believe. That's the way he runs his kingdom. But all of a sudden it's going to dawn on them that they didn't make it. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you didn't make it. The Holy Ghost is the seal as to the safeguard as to your garment. Seal, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed as to the inner man by his Spirit. So Satan can't touch you. Unto the day of redemption, that is to say the change of the body. And the world will not see as to their intellectual reasoning, of leaning to their own understanding, of their corrupt disputes, backbiting, fault-finding, all these other things as churchism with ritualistics, as religion as to ritualistic. See, they'll not see when good comes because they are of the intellectual veil which is over the mind of that life of God. And they cannot see when good comes as to their understanding, their eyes of understanding being enlightened. So they're in darkness even until now, but we're children of light. Not upon us unaware will it come, we see, knowing that it's not even at the door. So then we find out that God has wrought a great thing, and now it is revealing time as to the revelation. And the Lord is beginning to reveal to them that made the rapture and the translation, and those that are in heaven. For God hath translated us already, not going to, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Somebody said, well, I just can't see that, Brother Pike. Well, then the question arises, where is the man that used to live in the little house of clay that's laying out in the cemetery? The little house of clay is out in the cemetery. What happened to it? Still has its nose and its fingers and its toes and in most cases and its eyes and whatever. What happened to it? Something went somewhere. You didn't see it. You still don't see it. You don't know where it's at. But I know where it's at. And you that believe in the scriptures know where it's at, for the Bible said the Spirit went back to God who gave it at death. So we don't have to wonder about it. The world does with all of their education. They can't tell you where it's at. So we are they that understand as to having our eyes of understanding being enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great wonderful thing. Having eyes single, not as a double-minded as to religion and then worldliness. The mind of Christ and the mind of Lucifer. Tasting of the good things of God, going back to the world, trying to hold on to eternal life here. And over here with this hand, trying our very best to hold on to the world. See, I said you can't do that. It is ripped asunder, torn in two. Jesus made twain, and the veil was rent in twain. See, and one part of you has got to be dead. Your body is dead and buried, then your spirit is alive in heaven. You're eternal. You've made the rapture, the translation. He translated you into the kingdom of God because there's no such thing as rapture. The change of your body is waiting for the Thessalonian change, which will not come to pass until you have recognized that you are already in heaven, that you have already passed from death into life, that you already cannot sin, that you already are the sons of God, and that healing comes when you believe that you're already healed, pointing back to Calvary by His stripes. All of the things of God are always finished from the foundation of the world. And you are only made heir to them as they are revelated to you and you believe. And then the power of God through faith brings it to pass. Someone would say, well, it's running behind, Brother Pike, because I believe over here and then the time passes and then He heals me over here. Not with God. There is no time with God. The healing was before time ever came. There is no time with God. He heals you and He says, look, here's your healing. You have to come over here. Mother makes the biscuits. She puts them on the plate. She said, you have to come over here to eat them. So then the strength comes when we eat the biscuit or the food. Everything in the natural shows the spiritual. So then now we're at that moment of the great revelation of the Son of God. We're at that moment now that it's being revealed to you that not this rapture thing, but that they that who are of heaven, in heaven, translated, and now their minds being built through the months, the years, as unto this mind of God, as to their measure, that they dwell in that realm, and this is their measure as to their inheritance, as to what they've got. while the others wanted money and prestige and fame and popularity. And as it was with Solomon, he had many wives, many concubines. He put the concubines off with gifts. And all through life, you see people prophesying, speaking, and the Bible said prophesy in part, but that will fail. All these other things is the gift and healings and all these kind of things. By the act of faith, in that the rain is on the unjust gets healed still. Mercy is there. You just stir their faith up. And even Satan, having been transformed into an angel of light, that is to say, he is an angel, a fallen angel, an angel of darkness, which means intellectual reasoning, as that which projected itself through the tree to Eve to bring you to death, as the carnality to be death. To Jordan, as we say. So then, that spirit has, through the blood on the seat of atonement, through the grace of God, become so religious as the listening to the word down through the years and knowing the word, that he is now an angel of light as to the transformating of his mind, that is to say, a perfect reflector. And he even quoted the scripture to Jesus. And now, ministers that are under his power and jurisdiction have transformated their minds into ministers, that is to minister, to preach to you, to say these things. Ministers of light, that is of the word, they get up and preach the word, stir faith, and things happen. So you cannot tell the difference. It is so close, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But you have an innermost vision. You see, beyond the veil, you have a mind of enlightenment. So then your life is not spent as to the desire of eating and drinking and washing dishes and buying and selling and planting. And the Bible said it's no time to build houses and plant vineyards and all these kind of things. Your world is not built around that. Your world is built around one thing, and that is not to meet your budget and to make sure that you and your wife's belly is fed and your children's going to have good whether others do or not. But it's built around self-denial as the widow to give her all and take it by faith. To lay it on the altar and walk by faith. And as in the wilderness, to walk by faith that he might meet your needs with the hidden manner day by day. And those that are not in this circumstance as to which I describe here, they are not in God. They are not part of God. Though it's just a little thing of making provision for the flesh just for their little family, they're still not born again. They missed it. They went their way with their carnal reasoning to lean to their own understanding. And they have their little place. That's why we took the campground like we did. To give them a chance that wanted to do something for God, to have a place to stay. To work together, not to retire, to homestead. Like the song said, doctor, a lawyer, Indian chief, whatever it is, as to them that build on the sand. The writer said, I say, pity the man. Pity the man. For they build their homes and their houses, and each man runs to his own way of life, and lets the house of the Lord lay waste. And then he tries to run in as Ananias and Sapphira and says, here's some. I'm going to keep the rest. But God says, you lied to the Holy Ghost. Now you're dead. Some of you twice dead and plucked up by the root. That you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Lying to the Holy Ghost, and now you've crossed over. You can never come in. See, because as it is said, they wanted a little something for themselves. A little on the side. Not much. Just to gossip a little. A backbite a little. Haughty and contrary and fight a little bit. To some evil surmise a little bit, to have their ministry, as they say, to do their thing, as they say. And all these things shut them out into the dark to where they have exactly nothing, having nothing. But you that have received His Spirit, it might be a little, even by measures to whatever it is. Then so are ye in Christ. As you think in your heart, so are you. And you got to admit that you can make your head think a lot of things, but it doesn't profit you. Education, as to the world, the bastard child, you can get something. bodily exercise profiteth at least little. But the exercising of the senses to be able to discern between good and evil, as unto righteousness, as unto godliness, as to come into this thing which is spirit, as you think in your heart, that is faith and confidence in God's word. So are you. So then the mind of Christ is the biblical word of promise. I've hid his word in my heart, the writer said, that I might not sin against God. So then on the inside, by faith of that word, he hath purified my heart. Now life exists in there. And my thoughts are heavenly as to the mind of Christ. And I think I belong to God. And I think I'm one of his children. And I think I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I think I've passed from death unto life. And I think I'm sealed that Satan cannot touch me. And I think that God has saved me and his seed remaineth in me. And I cannot sin because I'm born of God. I think like that. I don't try to convince myself of it. I think like that in my innermost being. And on and on and on. I think that I dwell in heaven. I think that I have all things that pertain unto life. I think that he's my father and I'm his son. So then this is the church. This is the people of God. Got so many things to say here we'd never be able to say them. So he stopped again as to saying, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. When you think of who you are and what you want to be and your programs in life and your plans in life and all of the things of life, it all centers around you. For a man's testimony be of himself, it's not true. Like a man come through not too long ago, I one time knowed the man that he got into religious things, was trying to testify of God. When he got up here before you, I listened at him, and all of his testimony was of himself. He testified of what he had, what he was going to do, how he had been discovered, the money he was going to get out of it, and that's the way it is with the world. It's always that way. You that go out into the world, you do that. All day long, you testify. The dog to his vomit. Your mouth is running with vomit, and you're bubbling in the slop. See, that is to say, you are talking about you and your business and your money. And who is your means of income? How much and when you're going to get it and how many hours and how you feel and how you don't feel and your wife and your children and your cars and visiting with your relatives and doing this, doing that and everything that is natural to be carnally minded, everything that is carnal, which is natural. That's your mind. That's the constitution of your thinking. Which is in your head, which means you're dead. You're dead. You're living in the world, in the mind. The mind is the world. He's placed the world in your heart. So the world is in your heart, and the love of the world is in your heart. The love of the Father is not there. But Christ, heaven is within me. For he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I have the kingdom of heaven, which is the mind of Christ. And so then I mind heavenly things. I think on heavenly things. You mind earthly things, which is... there is an end of earthly things. They'll all be burned, destroyed. But heavenly things, angels cannot be destroyed. You are equal to the angels. You are spirit. So then to be spiritually minded, and Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirits, that by this the child of righteousness and the child of foolishness is discerned. As to tell the difference, the child known by his doings. So then you know where you're living and who you are. And as the revelation comes more brighter, as the light most precious, you will know the more that you are the bastard child, in that you have sold your birthright for a morsel of bread, even the earthly things, as to your own mind of ambition, so busy with a plan well programmed, you know that you've left out his park. And them that are not sully and melancholy and fierce and temperamental and greedy and gullible, they are children of God with love and patience, long-suffering and meekness. You wanted what you wanted, so you've got your home and your house and your land. In the early church, they did the opposite. They gave it all to God. You gave it to yourself. You got it because that's what you wanted. You say, but Brother Pike, I've done things before, I know. That doesn't count. The Bible said, unless you're found doing that at the coming of the Lord, all that you've done will not be remembered in your behalf. But your sins will be remembered against you, and your sins you shall die. But the one that's doing it at his coming, then he said, blessed is he that I find so doing at my coming. I'll make him ruler over all I got. So you got what you wanted. That was for you. Though you went right along with us as the Israelites did till they got down to the Jordan, and then the people got fascinated. I've stood on this side of the Jordan in Canaan, looking back over the Jordan, and I've seen the place down there, the cities of refuge, where those people stopped short of the mark. They were willing to come on in as to taste of the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, made partakers of these things, as to taste of these things, to fight the battle with them, that they might have this heavenly thing, that is to be believers in the church, do work in the church, whatever, even give to the support of the project. But when the battle was over, they all went back across the Jordan, down to their inheritance, which was on the other side of the Jordan that Sister Betty and I stood and looked at. So when everything is over, you'll find yourself, the blood gone off of the seat of atonement, the mercy lifted, all of a sudden you'll look and find that you are on the other side of Jordan. Still haven't crossed over the intellectual mind of the lust and gullible desires of the world, the love of the world in you. And the others, all of a sudden, that light will cease and you'll find yourself down there, the grace gone, and they'll find themselves in heaven where the light never ceases, where the grace never ceases. The interwoven glory as to the spirit and nature of the Lord Jesus, and that you're partakers of the divine nature. And nature is what causes the conformity as to the image. Having his nature, therefore, will be like him at his appearing. All right, let's stand together. Many things we'd like to say this morning, but all we can say is that the world is blinded and the elect received it. Paul said, they that were foreordained unto eternal life, they believe. And they that were not, they did not believe. So, to live after the body, the flesh, to follow it, to do the things that it wants and project in itself, to give itself to the world. You know, people strive. Satan takes the body and people strive to give themselves to the world. And they say, here I am. I'm your preacher. I'm nice looking. You know, I'm built right. I'm on TV. I still got plenty of hair. You know, I have given myself to you, the world. Or somebody says, as a president or as a senator, as a singer, as a celebrity, as a millionaire, as a businessman, or whatever, here I am, world, I'm part of you, I've given myself to you. That's the outlook. I am educated, I'm smart. But with the children of God, it's a funeral, and they take the body and they bury it. And as Joseph that would not commit harlotry with the old harlot as to the body of the woman that committed the wrong, as to Eve and her children, which shall be burned with fire, down through the heart of the earth, as to the rejection out of the body, suffering, death, and then back to God who gave it. He that remaineth faithful till death, the Bible said, I'll give him a crown. That is to believe unto death. So then, we, through the transitional changes of life, move into greater perspectives of heaven, as to different levels. And whatever it is, as to that glory and in the presence of that great light, some within the city, some without the city, walking in the light of the city, as to whatever we can obtain unto, as to that measure of that great light most precious. So will it radiate through us as that great, wonderful, vivid understanding of God, as to the mind of Christ, as to this body being changed, as to recipient of life in its abundance. Sometimes we use the terms, or men that are great and mighty in muscular, physical forms. And so women are just, as to say, a leap toward things like this. But these men that have such power and strength are only a type, as to say that you have the right to spiritually develop every God muscle to where you can be the perfect specimen as to the species of the sons of God, as to that innermost strength that Samson used to kill the lion with. So inwardly you can be bulging with the strength and the glory and the beauty that in you should drop off your robe, that your spiritual body, and that there's a natural body and a spiritual body, your spiritual body would be the most beautiful thing that was ever looked upon. Not as to lust and covetousness, but it's the power and might and glory and strength and great, great significance of godliness. So then, though the body perish outwardly, and you don't build too many muscles, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Remember thy Creator, even in the days of thy youth, when the evil days of reaping and revelating on the revelating knowledge or understanding suddenly tells you that you are the bastard child, that you give yourself to the world. Remember him now. So the glory that's unveiled is the glory that we're looking at as changed. Looking into his face, change from glory to glory. We're going to sing this little chorus. Dale remembers it. A lot of these choruses I sing, she remembers, or Frank remembers. I just kind of, in a sporadic sort of a way, say something. Give me another piece of scripture. Come a little closer, just a little closer. Come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little. Can you sing that with me? Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. For your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. One more time. Just a little closer, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten as you come a little closer to the Lord.
I remember, brother, when
I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, with my head hanging low and trouble in my soul, praying for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came calling one day. From the good book he read a few words. Now I am here to say that I'm glad for the day I came
a little closer to the Lord.
Can you sing it?
Come a little closer, just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
One more time. The altar's open.
Just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord.
Heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer.
One more time.
Come a little closer,
just a little closer.
Come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten as you come a little closer to the Lord.
Can you sing it one more time?
A little closer,
just a little closer,
come a little closer to the Lord.
Can you come a little closer? The
your heavy load will lighten,
and your days will brighten as we come a little closer to the Lord.
One more time.
Come a little closer, just a little closer,
come a little closer to the Lord.
Heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten as you come a little closer to my Lord.
One more time.
Come a little closer, just a little closer,
a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten as you come a little closer to the Lord.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Don't you feel like you're getting closer and closer to the Lord? You know, whether we realize it or whether we don't realize it, we're getting closer to the Lord all the time. Because every time that you hear the gospel, and every time your eyes are open, then more of the knowledge and revelation of the heavenly treasure comes to your earthen vessel. And you know more, which means you're higher. Whatever you excel to in school, so is your education. As to a diplomacy of college, so are you in life. And as it is with God in this mind of Christ, so are you. Moving on to the diplomacy as to the full measure. Every man that be perfect shall be as his master. This is what Paul called the full reward. Forgetting those things that are behind. Can we worship the Lord for just a few minutes this morning?
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself the question, who am I?
Can you sing it?
My will, thy Lord. The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so. That to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who?
Let's sing another little chorus together. Sing that song if you'll move over just a little bit the other night. That's what the Lord wants us to do. See, he's been down the same old road. And all we've got to do is just move over. And a lot of times, you're around people that's been down the same old road. And Christ within them will reach over and give you a helping hand. Can we sing that together? Well, if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Oh, the road is long and the way is rough, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. If you'll move over just a little bit, help you carry your load. If I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's the mountain top. And when we reach
on the hill,
you'll be so glad you tried. And together we will praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. The road is long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. So you'll move over just a little bit. I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's the mountain top. And when we reach
together we will praise the Lord and shout down the aisle. Can you give him a wave offering this morning? Just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road is long and rough, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit. Can you sing it one more time? You'll move over just a little bit.
I'll lend you a helping hand. I know the road is rough and hard, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's the mountaintop. And when we
get up on the hill,
we'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord
and shout
on
the other side.
So if you'll move over just a little bit,
I'll help you carry your load. I know the road is long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through.
I've been down that same old road.
So if you'll
move over just a little bit,
I'll help you carry your load.
Somebody say hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands with me this morning. Before we dismiss the service, check your heart, see where you're going, see if you've really listened to the minister as to a self-advantage or as to salvation. In what way? Placing the greater value on the thing that is of the greatest of importance, having our priorities straightened out, then we know that to be spiritually minded is life, to be carnally minded is death. So then, this morning, search your heart, search your mind. God has in your lifetime given you a chance to do something for God. Many times he's given you land, he's given you houses, he's given you finance, he's given you strength, he's given you youth. He's given you many opportunities to where you could have spoke up for him or said things and you didn't do it. You kept it for yourself and you've done it your own way. Now we're coming to the place to where he doesn't need it. And you've come to the place to where you don't have it or can't do it or waited too long. And you've lost out. But thank God for them that did give their substance to God to honor him with all of their life, their heart, their mind, their soul, their body. Did not have a reservation of heart as to save this life and then lose it, but as to give this life a sacrifice unto God that they might obtain it in Christ, that they might gain that life eternal and immortal. So immortality is what we're looking for, folks. To love him with all of your strength, to do something for him, instead of using your strength for the gullible desires of the flesh and to prosper as to your own way. Every man looking to his own gain, his own house, his own quarter. A lot of times the man wanting to do something for God and the woman so gullible that she won't let him rest day or night because he makes a sacrifice when she would have been a queen of heaven. And a lot of times the woman wanting to do something, but the man is so gullible as to the loss of his companionship to frolic with him in the world, he makes a proselyte out of her twofold more, the child of hell. She's just religious and that's all. And then sometimes it is a boycott as Ananias and Sapphira were to conspire as to a conspiracy against God. and they're going to be among the people and partially take part, but not really to get in and surrender their will and desire, as not to gossip and backbite and find fault and to do the things as to withhold and to rob God even of their time and strength and substance. But anyway, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel that goes to every creature. And to them that can hear, having ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And them that have eyes to see, even His eyes, in that you're His body. Then let them see always the things that the Father does. Let it be so with them that their testimony is that I do always the things that please my precious Father. Even as Enoch before his translation, this testimony he had, that he pleased God. And without faith, as to believe the word, as to honor the word, as to obey the word, as to believe the word, without that, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that is, believe there is a God. And you must believe that he is, that he is present with you right now, all the time. To believe that he is a present help in the time of need, to believe that he is, and to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For if you do the things that please God, you ask what you will, he'll do it for you. If you abide in him and his word abides in you. To please God, so then to believe in the Lord, the confidence of Christ is, I do the things that please him. My confidence is that he hears us. I know I have the things I ask of him. Because I do always the things that please my Father. Let's just close our eyes, lift up our hands. Standing here thinking about the goodness of God, the power of the Lord. So wonderful to be a Christian. Ask Brother Clyde Cobbs to come up and dismiss us. As Clyde comes, let's examine ourselves and see if we are in the faith, which faith is by the hearing of the word. Faith by the hearing of the word. Let's see if we are in the faith. For in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, getting past feeling, doing anything to where they can just do anything with a reprobate mind. For God has turned them over to reprobate mind to believe those things and be damned. Right. Brother Clyde's coming. Molly's coming. Let's remember the services tonight. Try to come back. Remember we sang the song, Bringing in the Sheaves. And let's remember those things and bring somebody back tonight to go out into the highways and into the hedges to compel them to come in that my house might be filled, the Lord said. He wants his house filled. He wants his house filled, and sheep beget sheep. So go out, find somebody, make it your program of life to always find somebody. When you get that one in, find another. And you're laying up treasures in heaven. Treasures, every one of them will become jewels in your crown. Some folks are not doing very much as to have jewels, which proves that they don't believe very much. Because if I sent you out to gather diamonds and told you the field to get them in, you'd gather a bucket full, all that you could get. So it's very obvious that you're in unbelief, and because of unbelief, you're cut off in the darkness, as to the foolish heart darkened. And you failed to get that eternal life, which is through the grace of God.